Well, when they talk to us, when they talked to us about giving our testimonies, it was many months ago, and I thought, oh, that's a great idea. I'll share what God is teaching me. It will be awesome. Well, then April arrived really quickly, and I realized I have to give my testimony in 2 weeks, and I was scared to death. So here it is. As far as what God has been teaching me about self-control, the more I thought about it, the more I realized I really need work on self-control in so many areas. And when I looked at my life, I feel like the thing that I really saw was me trying to control things more than anything. So Moms has been a huge blessing to me over the last 4 years. And I was trying to reflect on why I felt like the community has been so valuable to me. And I really found it's because I found relationships here that I appreciate the most because they're transparent and genuine and women that walk alongside each other in our struggles. And the best thing is, as we walk alongside each other as moms and as wives, we all have our eye on Christ in that situation. And I appreciate those women that I've met here most in Moms, and I really strive to be one of those women. And as I said, that just brings to the forefront my need for self-control more and more. I was trying to think of a verse that I've been focusing on, or kind of is the surmise of my life right now, and I kept coming back to Exodus 14:14, and the verse is, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So my other goal is not to cry, so I don't know if I'll make that one. As Anne said, I grew up in a small town, about 170 people, and it was a culture where everyone was assumed to be a Christian. And really the only thing you really had to do to go to heaven was die, because it was assumed. I was the oldest of three kids. My little brother was 2 years younger than me, and I'm a typical firstborn. I'm very much a people pleaser, perfectionist, bit of a control freak, and played that role of firstborn very well. One of the most defining circumstances in my life since I was young was, although my dad was a very good man and wanted very hard to be a good dad, he had a lot of issues with his temper, which led to a lot of physical and emotional abuse in our house, occurring on regular intervals. Initially, my dad's outbursts were aimed particularly at my mom, and one of my initial memories was taking my little brother, who's 2 years younger than me, taking my blankie, putting it over his head, and trying to protect him from the noise of fighting that was occurring outside our closet. But I really see God working through the situation, and that he has placed many qualities in me, such as I love compassion and caring and protecting. And he was placing them in me, and I feel like growing them through that experience very much so. And that's led me to love two of the current professions I now hold, mom and being a nurse. Growing up, I did well in school, and appreciated all the approval that I got from my teachers and the people around me. We did attend church every week, but it tended to be more of a social club than anything. But however, I feel like God was really using that time there to build up the knowledge that I had in him, Bible stories, the word books of the Bible, things like that. And I loved to be the person in Sunday school who knew the answers and got the prize for memorizing things first. In sixth grade, we moved to Edgerton, and my dad started a new job. And this led to increased stress on my parents' marriage and a lot of fighting. However, previous to that, they had started the process of adoption, and my little sister, Soon Mi, came to join us, 10 years my younger, in 1994 from Korea. While in Edgerton, went to a Christian school, which only seemed to further my need for control and approval from man. And I was generally successful and convinced more and more that I was a good Christian, and I didn't understand, and I didn't have a real relationship with Christ. In eighth grade, we ended up moving back to Steen, and I was back to my normal patterns, now channeling any efforts for approval through sports. I was involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and a pivotal moment in my faith that really opened my eyes was at a 36-hour famine event. The question was proposed, if you were to die right now, how sure are you, 0 to 100%, that you would go to heaven? And they lined up chairs on the wall, and they had us sit in our corresponding area. I contemplated, and I decided I was about 80% sure. And they explained that really, if you have a relationship with God, that you can be 100% sure no matter what, because it's not about what you do, but it's about Jesus dying for you. And that was a completely new concept to me. All through high school, I did the things I was supposed to, multiple sports, student body president, youth group, band, et cetera, et cetera. But my heart was having a really hard time letting go of control. Appearances showed I have a lot of self-control and self-discipline, but it was simply my heart trying to perform. I had many friends during this time that were a blessing to me and really showed the fruits of the Spirit to me, one of which was my friend Rachel, who's one of the most loyal people I know and really got me through a lot of difficult times during high school. My sophomore year of high school, I began dating a boy, a relationship that God would use to teach me so many lessons, but while still keeping his hand of safety over my heart. We dated for 4 years, in which I made many poor decisions, but learned a lot about who I really was. During this time, I ended up at the University of South Dakota my freshman year and came to a desperate low where I struggled with borderline eating disorder. I was socially isolated and extremely lonely. I applied to transfer to the University of Minnesota in October for the next fall, where that boyfriend just so happened to go. And the University of Minnesota was probably the last place that I ever would have ended up if he hadn't been there. And God definitely had his hand in every piece of that puzzle. The end of that year, my parents told me that they were divorcing, and it was bound to be very complicated. I ended up at the U that fall with roommates who loved to party, and ended up single the week before school started, when that boyfriend of 4 years decided it was a little too scary for me to be that close. I was completely devastated, and instead of going to God, I went towards partying and continued to focus on any external appearances or approval that I could get. However, I still felt a need to get into a Christian community, and I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. I'd go to a party frequently after the Thursday night crew meeting, just searching so desperately for somewhere to belong. One evening, a friend asked me to coffee and sat me down and said he knew that I was living a double life and that God just didn't want part of me, and that I needed to decide which was more important, God or pleasing myself. His brutal honesty was just what I needed, and this was a transformational moment for me when I really realized that I was more about a relationship with God and not just a religion that I could use at my convenience. I started to meet people inside crew that love God, and they were actually quite fun. And I ended up getting into nursing school at the University of Minnesota, which is an answer to prayer. God brought some friends into my life who were great resources of encouragement during that time, and some who are still with me here today. Let's see. My senior year of nursing school, first semester in one of my classes, the requirement was to get an 80% or better average on 3 exams. At that point, my parents' divorce was getting more and more messy, and my dad was calling me contemplating suicide. Being the oldest and deemed the counselor and problem solver, I was trying to deal with that as well as deal with school at the same time. I ended up with a 78% on the exams, an 86 in the course, and according to the rules, I could not continue without retaking the course. I was so angry with God. How could he do this to me? I had a job lined up, I had everything planned out, and I was completely crushed. This time, however, I prayed and I spent a lot of time in the Word, trying very hard to trust that God's plan was the best one for me. I was to take a semester off, retake the course with a whole new class, and then finish a year later. I felt like a total failure with no control at all. And that is what ended up bringing me to Bethlehem. A girlfriend of mine convinced me to go to a small group led by a guy that she liked, and little did I know that that man would be my husband, Patrick. Patrick and I started dating, and I knew within weeks he was the man that I wanted to marry, largely due to a lot of the mistakes I'd made in the past. He was an intentional, God-seeking man, and I loved being with him. We married in August of 2005, and that summer we got married, I graduated, we bought a house, I took my boards, and I started my job at the University of Minnesota in bone marrow transplant. Within the first 8 months of our marriage, Patrick lost his job, and we were forced to really trust God with a lot of pieces of our lives. It was an amazing experience just to watch him trust God as he worked hard to support as well as provide for our family. And as you all know, marriage is very sanctifying. So marriage taught me a lot of things about how selfish I was, how much control I really felt like I needed, and how I wanted things to be just so. And God gave me a husband who doesn't like things just so, just to show me that. And then we decided to up the ante by becoming parents. Crosby Patrick was born on April 27th of 2008 and made me mom. He gave me a whole new understanding to Jesus' death And parenthood has opened up so many doors to learning Christ's love, but also opportunities for me to feel like I can control things. Determining parent styles, sleeping choices, food decisions, school, all on and on it goes. And 2 years later, Blaze Darvin arrived on February 27th of 2010, and he hasn't really held still since. I love my boys very much, but anyone who's a mother of boys knows that it's a constant process of sanctification, as they don't ever hold still, and they seldom act appropriately in public, as you would desire them to, which, as God knew I needed some sanctification to continue to show me that it's not about what I do or how I look to others. It's very often that I do hear the whispers of failure in the back of my head, and they often taught my heart to wonder and go back to my performance-based ideals. During this time, I'm very grateful for the people God has placed in my life, but more so the man that God has placed in my life to lead me as a wife as well as our family. We've recently moved to North Oaks, and we started over in so many different ways. We're transitioning to North Campus, and it's as we meet people, it's become really difficult not to try to pretend to fake that things are all together, or that we have it all together and we have it figured out, because we certainly don't. I'm blessed to have many women in my life who speak truth to me, and I was really challenged last moms when the Turners talked about self-control. I loved when they discussed how it's not self-control is really about just needing more of God's grace in your life, and that's really what it's about, not making it not about a performance base, but that we're just simply asking for God to give us more grace because he knows that we certainly need it. I'm grateful for the life that I have right now. We're in a very great time of where I feel like he's blessing us, and I'm just trying to keep a heart of thanksgiving. And going back to my verse I started with in Exodus 14, when he says, "The Lord will fight for you, you need only to be still." I love just that the Lord is fighting for me, and he's actively present, and he really just wants me to be still and let him pursue me. That's it. Thank you.